You are listening to www.infinitesmile.org. Enjoy these Zen-inspired talks given by Michael McAllister, followed up by question and answer exchanges with groups of his students.
The Buddha talked about how there is impermanence, everything, and how there is, through this impermanence, this fundamental reality puts our ego into just an absolute panic. And that if there can be a recognition of impermanence as being a fundamental reality, so much that we practice that recognition so much that it forces the exposure of ego's game, we can actually get beyond the boundary of ego. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. So, how should we live? Becomes the real guiding principle. How do we want to live? More than that, more than how do we want to live, how can we live in a way that somehow integrates this teaching of impermanence into a day-to-day? How can we live knowing that every single piece of every single thing around us, all of it, is temporary? It is bound by time. Everything that is bound by time, in other words, everything that is born will die. It's temporal. It has a temporal relationship to the cosmos. It is born and it dies. Everything, every single thing. Our way out of this place is to generate a felt realization and then bring that felt realization into a way of living and allow this felt realization to be an expression, actually, of a deep singularity with all things, where there is really no boundary. There isn't a me and a you, or a this and a that, a subject and an object. It's just all one thing. And from that realization, generally it's brought about by a stillness practice of some kind, this felt realization gives us not only encouragement, but gives us courage. It gives us this undeniable sense of fearlessness as we approach the unknown. We recognize that the unknown is actually unknowable. And there's a surrender to that. That which is really, truly, madly, and deeply powerful is unknowable because it doesn't move. It doesn't move. The big secret in this practice is that in that space, that womb of creation where all things are born out of and die into, that spaciousness never moves. It is not part of time. It doesn't die. Okay? All we have to do is just kind of drop into it or explode into it. And we can feel it as the present moment. We can identify it as infinity. We can give it all sorts of names. We can write poems about it to point in its direction. Okay? But you have to make the move to get there. And the move to get there, paradoxically, is to not move at all. You become one with all things. all things become you. There is no longer the separation. It's just this. So, is that spaciousness that doesn't move, is it permanent? Well, it isn't born in time. Time has nothing to do with it. It is prior to time. In other words, from that space, time emerges. Time moves, right? The infinite, spirit, Godhead, whatever you want to call it, whatever tradition you're from, does not move. Nothing ever happened there. Nothing will ever happen there. But actually, this formlessness, this emptiness is filled with form and infuses form. It's always already here. It's always already here. It doesn't ever change. And we kind of plug into it, actually, when we stop churning and burning, when we stop grasping, when we stop going after things or trying to hang on to things, when we stop trying to hang on and just actually surrender, we recognize it takes very little to make our hearts sing. It takes very little to make our hearts sing when we surrender, when we let go, when we stop grasping, when we stop trying to make something permanent, when we stop trying to avoid things falling apart, when we stop trying to avoid anything, when we stop trying to go after anything, when we stop trying to categorize and quantify, when we just are, when we enact this deep felt sense of being in the way we close our car door, in the way we walk down the street, in the way we deal with someone who has just slighted us, we can soften our stance to the world by recognizing that every single one of those people, every single one of those situations that bring some form of threat our way, if we can just look at the situation, look at the person and say, just like me, the homeless person on the street, just like me, the guy that cuts you off as you're driving on the freeway, just like me, the arrogance expressed from somebody, just like me, the pathos that you see in the eyes of starving children, just like me. All of it is just like me. Just like me. The bird flying, just like me. That tends to break down the boundary. Break down the boundary that separates us from that which is, in essence, truly empty, which never moves. That which never moves. And there's a deep peace and freedom in this space because we are no longer identified with the thing that is separate. That felt sense of separation, is, as we've talked about, is ego. And as we just start recognizing that ego is a phantom that we have built that dances around on this stage of mind, our relaxation, our stillness takes us further and further back in the audience. And we watch the process of attachment. We watch the grasping. We watch the aversion for what it is. It's just a game. We're all going to die. So how are we going to live? Are we going to live identified with the machinations of this phantom? Or are we going to be able to see through it somehow? And the stillness practice allows for that soil at least to be cultivated, so that what happens actually in our consciousness is that there is an unfolding of spirit through us. Spirit sees itself through us. And from this deep singularity, we act. from this wisdom, we become the expression of compassion. From stillness, we get to wisdom, which allows for deep compassion to be expressed all the time. So the teaching really points us in this direction. You know, the teaching really shows us that, we're all going to die. Everything is impermanent. So how are we going to live? Here's an opportunity. Allow for stillness. The wisdom that comes from that stillness, when it is expressed, becomes compassionate. And by being grounded in that type of life, the temporary nature of all things actually begins to become a celebration. Everything becomes a surprise. More and more uncertainty becomes a welcome gift to any individual who recognizes the deep, impersonal nature of her existence. Recognizing that there is nothing personal in any of this, that it's all impersonal, allows us to open widely. We just become all. And then we go have a burger and beer.
I'm not sure where to go with this question, but our life is impersonal to us,
mm-hmm.
It feels like it loses some value.
Of course.
And
help me with you're saying if we kind of fall into this impersonal aspect of living, it's like we lose a connectivity.
And yet, it's also the other side. The other side is kind of grasping.
Right.
So,
Let me ask you this: what is it about the self system or whatever you want to call it that feels a loss of connectivity?
Self system.
What is it about the self? Let me change the question for you. What is it? What is it that feels like it's losing a connection? If we relax into an impersonal experience of all existence as opposed to a deeply personalized experience.
I feel if I was impersonal, I would be less protective of myself.
Okay, can you say all of that right there without any personal pronouns? Can you express that to me without saying I, me, my, myself, mine, you know? Gene, I'm playing with you. Okay? Yeah. I mean, because the thing, and by the way, all things are what?
Impermanent.
The thing in you that feels like it loses something is ego.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So what happens then is ego is not going to, you know, willingly offer you freedom. It's going to throw every single type of net, block, body check, whatever. I mean, it's going to put everything in the way of any type of impersonal understanding of deep singularity, right? Okay? So it's a great trick for ego to say, well, wait a minute. If you're busy witnessing me, you're not going to then have as much feeling associated with life. The vitality will drain out of you. This is absolutely wrong. And I would actually propose that through this, you know, relaxing into the seer of all experience, Okay? Relaxing into the feeler of all that is felt. Over time, you're going to feel more of your life. You're going to see more of what has previously been hidden. You're going to unfold and expand in ways that you never imagined that you could, because the you itself has been obliterated. I should say the relationship to the you has changed so radically that you're no longer bound by any type of habitual inertia going one direction or another. And that's exactly what it is right there. It's a big smile. It is a big smile. It's an infinite smile, yes. I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
I'm just imagining.
Just imagining?
Myself not feeling that personal about my life.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just change the language here. You are imagining that you wouldn't feel so personal about your life.
Right.
What if there was an imagining of impersonality, and that that imagining was experienced fully? Is it still there? Does it feel?
It's like a coma. It takes me off into another place.
Good. And it's not a place that is where the mind is really has a foothold, right?
Right.
We can point this out to each other all the time. We can point to this mountain all the time. You just have to walk. Just go.
Yeah.
Go up it. And again, this is, you know, I hammer this one home all the time. It's like every wisdom tradition has a different path up this very mountain that we're talking about right now. Every one of them does. It'll be a wonderful day when wisdom traditions can talk about the mountain instead of about their path. That's when deep impersonality starts to infuse the activity of wisdom institutions. The institutionality of churches, temples, synagogues, mosques, the institutionality of those things, instead of being contracted personal identifications of faith, what do they become? They become the radical, empty expression of the all. Does it mean that the mosque cannot exist? Of course it can exist. The church? Absolutely. They all can exist, but they can exist with a different language that isn't about me, mine, or my way.
Yeah.
It's about just this radical infinity that we're not separate from, that is expanding at an increasing rate, just like the stars, just like the universe itself. Ha! Yeah, that's it. That is the teaching. Those two words, let go. Let go. Easy, right? Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming. Thank you for joining us. For more information about either the Infinite Smile Sangha or Michael McAllister, check out our website at www.infinitesmile.org.